is probably akin to that because I have current background as well. But there are these strange, mysterious people who, particularly in the summertime, wander around graveyards in Western Ireland and places like that. They're called monks. They're roots. Tongue-in-cheek, and all as it may be, this is dedicated to one such person who had quite an effect on my life and my thoughts about my family and the history of my family. And just as a preamble, George Hendron and I share the same great-great-grandfather, Farrell Conlon, the schoolmaster in Corley, County Sligo, from 1843 to 1868. George Hendron, as with all good Boston attorneys, started digging into my past, our past, some years ago. George Hendron produced a family tree that has plagued my mind ever since. George Hendron is responsible for this poem, Dawn, Odyssey, on the Odyssey, and here's the lines. When Farrell said goodbye to his family one by one, he never dreamt he'd meet me 150 years on in the poetry of his loins, 643 seed generations on. That proud scholar in his two-room schoolhouse and his 14 progeny begat a dynasty that tentacles its mysterious way across the nations of the world. To name a few, Boston, Princeton, Bristol, Bally, Massachusetts, South Untally, Riverstick and Carrimore, Uptown Carlow, Beyond Moor. Nor even more did I, the chronicler of fate, envisage such a task ahead as entered through my gate one cold September evening. A wayward email note, unmitigated curiosity, it took me by the throat. Your cousin Dawes from Boston, who the hell is he? He's here in Cork, he's tracing down to thread his family tree. And in the form of rapping, I make it clear as mud. I'm chasing the man, not the last man, mad man. I'm manhunting mad that man's man's son. And I ain't gonna rest till the job's all done. So dig my drift. We got names to shift. And you hear the top of my pile. As the man what knows where the big tree grows on an endless downward spiral. You to cog at the wheel, ain't no massive deal. Just need to name some names. So spit 'em out, whisper or shout. When the Lord made time, he made plenty. And so the attorney laid down the law and set in train an incredible me-aw. An incredible hike that starts on the night in an old schoolhouse in Corry. When Farrell tested Mary across the trammel floor of that two-roomed cabin near Knocknarea. There's more. In the shadow of Bowles Queen Maeve. And halts for a glimpse this evening in downtown dark Belgooly to give the muse a brief peruse of his century of his lap itinerary. Some might call it game plan. Be assured there was no planning. It's as sure as guns used against the Huns with Murphy's Law as the blueprint that this family odyssey against all the odds is only just beginning. God forgive you, George, or Hendron, as you favour. You have laid the stone of a massive tome. Why me? The 600th and which one?
Mr. Hart, and next we have Mary O'Connell.
Okay. This is called Baltimore. That wonderstruck 8-year-old could not wait to leave the town, its flattened, worn-out ways, and head west into strangeness, abandoned the Hellespont dividing her two worlds. Traveling to her mother's place, she watched the landscape open to rock and gorse, giving back those sights and smells that would unearth her real self and burn it into being. Donkey carts rattled to the creamery, the scent of fuchsia and turf smoke after rain, hiss of a tilly lamp melting solid walls. Grass-grown pathways leading to the tower, trekking with cousins to Frafraska's edge, the bellows wheel they'd turn at Hannah's fire. Trollers three abreast beyond the pier, bringing a whiff of diesel, salt and tar, a train puckering steam along the line. When did the two worlds fuse? When did neighbors become strangers on a tarmac avenue road? Was it the push of electricity that blew apart the slowness of those days, exposing cracks and cobwebs in the glare? An Anglia replaced Joe Sweeney's trap. The Kingstons brought a tractor for the hay. The feathered tick was thrown out on the hedge. She tramped the fields, willing all this to stop, beat her futile fists in the long grass, felt in her throat the salty taste of loss.
Next we have the ever wonderfully random Katie McGrew and Austin. Katie and Austin.
Who the fuck out? Nobody couldn't touch it enough to win me when they get lost. They've been to that day, hoping they know that I can have the world. But I thought that I saw on the red eyes of the head back. Devastation, you know, what have I wrought? That's it, all I've got, I will all be no matter in one day. This time gonna stick around and take away my sanity. Until then, stay in the children's pen. Are you with me? And are you for 86? Pull the fuck out! Pull the fuck out! Pull the fuck out! Everybody, pull the fuck out! You take some good to me. Maternal instinct kicking in, I got in her eye. Mama screwed us up with cover, keep our parasites. Swim with us back, son! Where the fuck am I? Mama screwed us up with our kids, baby's out of sight.
Hoopnarf West Passage. Cotton plateau, then peaks and slopes, puffed and fluffed on a terminal plain, deserted. Icarus eye view, ice caps, burnished and tawny, fractured and crusty. How long more can this last? The midnight blade hacks into a ledge to find purchase under the overhang, an avalanche of immense whiteness starts to crumble and tumble in sweet silence, slipping down the sheer face, past stalactites, will-o'-the-wisps that froth down frosted flows to land across the mouth of the fjord, the wedge shape of attrition eating into those honeycombed caverns, those canyons, pale as egg white, down into blue, glazed flats of wedgewood. Ah, big glass. degrees 4.8 minutes south and 30 degrees 6.2 minutes west, Father's Day. Above the tide line, he gazes silently, cloaked in a diamond-hard hummock. Like a towering outline on an azure wall, the cargo ship stands off, containers of provisions at the ready, bargain hunters lining her rails. He ignores the soft tick-ticking of cooling quad bikes. With a leathery move of his ponderous hide, he nods, blinks an elderly eye. He has seen it before. He has seen 500 Father's Day. Thank you.
Now we have Patricia Wells.
Thank you. This is kind of befitting the season, isn't it? It's called From October Onwards. On my way, I can't help but notice the sallow leaves, the orphaned branches lying dirty on the ground, advertising autumn like fall soldiers, shot by bolts of driving rain. For once my wish is to be barricaded, watching the action from window, as addictive as television screen. I watch a schadenfreude engulf me on the other side. The easterly wind blows through concrete to chill the insulated space as the rain, as a soldier, sends a firing swarm on every living thing, clapping hands over the old style gallows. Some sort of doomsday is near. Please drive carefully. Attempted love poem, but it was called Stop Taking. Our hearts were not built for bliss, rather the ridicule of those we love, or the quality of what we are not, simply guardians of our own making. Chasing the long arm of our private love, blotted out by ape of the Chardonnay, among other things, why should I be contrite? Why should I be one to turn off the light, crying on the bed to do so? The night is always cold, regardless of how it stirs in our hearts before rise. Ignorance is no longer a sin, nor a defense, as we long to see ourselves go from the comfort of our own homes, or for the quality of stars in our minds, the structure supported by complacency. Why should I be contrite? Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Come here, Paddy Doyle. Love. I have ceased striving. Now I wait for love that is always arriving. The willow trees waving me welcome. The warm breeze kissing my lips and the bright sun laughing. Please God, may it always be that each moment of mine gives endlessly.
Thank you very much, Paddy. No, someone who's been absent for a long time, but we're happy to have him back. Aaron.
Good evening, all.
Good evening.
I left Cork in March, and I went back to England for a little while. And then I did the road to Santiago Compostela, which is a pilgrimage through Europe. I didn't know how I was going to get there, didn't know how it was going to unfold, but that was what my journey was about. It was about not necessarily about knowing the answers to life, just to live the question. So while I was in England, I wrote a poem about Ireland. And over the last 2 years, and nearly a half, I've been writing every day, never missed a day of writing in 2 years and 3 months. And through that process, I think you uncover the decisions that you make about life and what your purpose is or why we're here. I kind of discovered, like, I grew up with my grandmother, and she's from Sligo. So I always had this fondness for Ireland and always dreamt about living in Ireland. And 4 years ago, I moved to Cork, and I'm working on a book at the moment, which is called Tales of the Balloon Man, One Man's Journey of Creative Discovery. And it's basically about following your heart, being yourself, and making balloons. So I'm back in Cork now. I just came back from Canada. I was in Canada for 3 months as well, and I travelled across Canada for 3 months with a bag of balloons and space. I had an amazing journey. I travelled right from Toronto right across to Vancouver Island. I was on the news in Canada, and I'll tell you another story about it. But, this is a poem that I wrote about Ireland on Patrick's Day 2009. One moment. I've got a habit now of writing poetry into my mobile phone at 2 o'clock in the morning. This green land carved by wind and sea, the ancestors of old and new, keeping us wise. With its poetry, colour, and free-flowing water, Erin, a land of kings, the truth runs deep. We are carried on the wings of the heron back to our heart's truth. The three-leaf shamrock, holding roots for our earthly promise. All who have walked and felt the breath of this land have been nurtured in the depths of their being. This is a poem that I wrote on the road to Santiago. Well, text with my phone. And if anybody ever does the road to Santiago, and I send loving light to everybody who try to do the journey. It's a beautiful journey. You don't have to do the full journey that I did. It took me about a month to do it. You can do it from Lyon to Santiago. There's many, many different routes. But as you come up to you walk through a place called the Meseta, which is the flatlands of Spain, which was made in the Ice Age, so the flatlands of Spain, and then you've got climb from 800 feet to 1500 feet, and then you've got the descent. When you come down this mountain, there's a big pillar of stone, and I wrote the poem in black pen, so hopefully it's still there, but this is the poem in you. A deeper soul truth, follow your dream. The splash of cool water trickling from an internal mountain chamber. Water to quench, water to anoint the chosen one. Dusty rows of rock and sand guiding us to our heart's home. Immersed in this transcendental stream of love and rich colour and curious minds seeking what their hearts have always known. Take one step at a time, your soul will show you the way. Glide forward to this place of saints and wise men. Your angels are ever present. And one more thing. A friend of mine, a guy, I've got a minute. What? Can I? A minute.
Okay. Are there more people on there?
Okay.
We are running to the end, so if I can hold you all to one poem a piece. And next we have Eugene.
For Pat Finucane, a safe house in Belfast. Was it early morning, or were the churches closed? Centre of this city, castrated by roads, gardens, stemming the puke of hate to me.
Next is Louis Mackay, and Louis Mackay is one of the organisers of Ballyfort or Portugal Festival, I do believe. There's information on the wall there just by the door. Check it out. Louis Mackay.
If he were up, Spencer, Shakespeare, Donne, Yeats, Ralston, Millay, sonneteers of scribbled hearts and Petrarch, where once the scrawling scribes traced dainty marks, electric keyboards tap, tap, tap today. But modern ease of means, the point to make, has not helped more to make abstractions plain. Most matters mythic, sacred, or profane, have vague thoughts blended like some well-made cake. And discerning what the poet means to say is still a task that causes cranial strain in those who youthful study did disdain. The lack leaves loyal's quiet ears dismayed, but worry not if you the point don't see, for soon you'll quite indifferent will be.
We ran across the grass, picking dandelion clumps, dodging thistles and dry cowpats. The field was decked, laden settle tables, posts, pens, and a large tent. Willie Lynch, who gave the sleeve free, paraded round with the parish priest. Mrs. Brady's famous sponge cakes sat on willow patterns in the pit. We bought humbugs, Peggy's legs, gold foil, penny chewing took a chance on the fortune wheel, then slitted our pink tickets to the wind. A yellow boat swung us high in the air. Our spanks lurched, wind played billy gigs with our hair. The earth rose on a slew-down board. Farmers circled, tractors smoked. John Joe Neville just stood there in his binder-twine coat, Wellington speckled like bird eggs. Between a gap in the gorse hedge, we spied our empty school, high windows high in the concrete yard, waiting for September.
Mm-hmm. actually, no, it's her first time reading, so I hope everybody's extra hostile. Sarah Buckley.
Be gracious, my venture makes it that you don't have to be great to start it, you have to start to be great, so actually I wasn't going to read, but then you talked about a poem about depression, and I was like, I want to come back to that, because I was actually writing today about depression in my notebook, and it's a bit more, I'm a bit young, 22, but yeah, I had maybe depression when I was younger, and it's over, and I'm over it, and it was like, it can be an aspect of your mind that you learn to control, and that you've like, yeah, it's a mad thing first, but you tame it and it grows with you, and it's not that bad. It's called my back puppy. It's the juvenile, like I said. Crosby with not his hair, my puppy doesn't play. She'd faithfully follow, but not lick her lunch and pet him. She'd retort with a bite, attempt to a curious monster in a tame. I adopted him one dark afternoon that I felt lonely. He feeds the simplest stable diet of anguish, and I drink a bowlful of tears each day. I don't feed him, he thrives in the grime and the wreck. Once my doctor stopped things, I stood and watched him bulk and gulp for weeks, lifeless, whimpering, like sometimes he had left me. But then his shadowy form reappeared and we shared company again. With time I've watched him grow into a dog. He's less dubious now and we know each other. He still is my filthy black pet with his relentless ratchet presence, but now something the dog will obey and the black puppy never does that.
Our last poet is, I think you'll all agree, it's not, well, that doesn't end quite right unless it ends with him. Alan Sibley.
I thought there was only out for me. when Aaron was talking about Santiago de Compostela and the journey, a friend of mine did 200 kilometres. I did 200 metres. so this is actually an Irish song which I've translated into English, and I did it about an hour before I came in. So I don't know it. So I have to look at the words. Will forgive me for doing it. I've never sung it before in my life. This is the first time. So if I fuck it up, which I probably will, you'll all forgive me. It's a very sad song, but I've thrown in one or two bards as well, in Irish and in English. Is Fada Mahafata Gan Roga? Is it Fida Mahafoga Gan Fin? Is Fada Mahagola Mnoga? Admiral Men Jorem Mavian? Nahatrua Nahmara Vimahir? Nur lishe mega haram anuri Och siyan nuek maak ruya fasa Ese kirra na trulya muli Mai fita ben langwer au chudan Mai pocket ha ben langer without pence I've often been drunk with young women But I'd never drank much without sense. It's a pity my dad wasn't dead and gone when he sent me to fight for the king. My grave is my hard bed from now on, and for my love I cannot more sing. Domingue shaft niola and u hollow. Nu adiras ne mliapin mului Is mi chir bra a hafe fur chugam Shkeel cinte gan nai roi mhi Er ai vi er majan de Kirin, mai kielba elik melatoi, nora fula me omra, em kielbra, stil me ma veron, altium. If I was 7 long years buried, or with fever dolly down in my bed, and my first love would come to awake me, my grey years I gladly would shed. And arising on Wednesday morning, my sense I'd let flow to the wind. When I heard what my true love was up to, I tore the raw knuckles from my hands. It's for the mowic a yamo, it's my woman lack a sleeve. Neil Seychur no was so felcho, O Scarle Negro Galmohri. My grave is a long time preparing, and right I've been making my slap, but pleasure and joy have departed, since my true love has refused me a shag.